talk radio about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
And good morning to you this beautiful sunny Wednesday. My name's Robin. You are tuned into Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM, where we broadcast on the unceded and ancestral territories of the Coquitlam, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh peoples. I have a great show for you today. We will be focusing information and discussion, a short interview on gender-based violence from November the 25th to December the 10th. As it is every year, year after year, until we are in the clear of gender-based violence for good, we recognize that time period as the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence, and it is an international campaign to challenge the violence against women and girls. And so today, with the anniversary of the massacre, the Montreal Polytechnique, coming up on the weekend, I will also be talking with Paula Quiros, who is the education coordinator here at the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, about their event, which happens on Friday for students and people in the community. So do stick around. We are going to start off by listening to a song. This is a track of music. Been hearing a lot of digital music lately, just with the instances of COVID and not having access to physical material very often. So this feels a little bit like a throwback, because I'm going to play a CD. This is Chelsea McBride's Socialist Night School is the name of the band. Aftermath is the name of the CD, and we're going to hear The Righteous and the Wicked from Chelsea McBride's Socialist Night School here on Intravenous.
Thank you.
welcome back to Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM. That was a track called The Righteous and the Wicked from Chelsea McBride's Socialist Night School here. My name's Robin, and with me via telephone, I have Paola Quiros from the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office. Paola is the education coordinator, education officer there, and joins me to talk a little bit about the event they have on Friday, but also to just talk a little bit about violence against women on campus in general, and some of the things that that the office there does. So welcome to the show, Paola.
Well, thank you, Robin, and good morning to all listeners at CJSF.
Yeah, thank you. How have you been doing in these times?
We're doing our best to continue providing services and support to students at SFU, even if it's online right now. And yes, I think that I have to be honest that I also looking forward to our winter break, as many students, I am sure that they are looking forward to their winter break and have a little bit of a break out of Zoom and all these online, different online events that we have day by day.
Yes, I completely empathize with that. It's a different way of interacting.
Completely.
So, I was quite heartened to see that there is an event planned for the memorial of the Montreal Massacre, because it usually happens in person.
Yeah.
You know, where there's a vigil and people come together, and you know, it feels like a collective mourning and, you know, this collective recognition of what happened. Can you talk a little bit about the event that will happen on Friday, and maybe how you've managed to move it online so that it still might have that same collective feeling?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, on as you mentioned, this Friday, December 4, from 12:30 to 1:30, we are going to have an intergenerational conversation about the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women. As we know, December 6 marks the anniversary, and this year is the 31st anniversary of the murder of the 14 women at the L'École Polytechnique de Montréal in 1989. And as you mentioned, since that, since the following year in 1990, the SFSS Women's Center started to put together this memorial in collaboration with Women in Engineer. And since then, SFU has been hosting this memorial. Also, it was in the 20th anniversary of the shooting that, thanks to the contributions from the Women in Engineer and the Faculty of Applied Science and the School of Engineering Science, SFU unveiled a memorial bench for the students who lost their lives on December 6th. For students or people that don't know that this memorial exists, so I invite you to, whenever possible and whenever you can go back to campus, just to have a look of once you leave the building, the Faculty of Applied Science building, just to on your right, you're going to see the bench, which also has 14 dogwood trees that were planted at the time in memorial of the 14 women. So this year, we decided to move everything online because of the pandemic, of course. So, and also thinking about that we cannot assume that everybody is familiar with what happened on December 6, 1989 in Canada, especially new students, right? Or the new generations that they were not even born at that time. So this is going to be an intergenerational conversation between individuals who were indirectly impacted by the massacre, and current students to talk about what has changed on the issue of gender-based violence and how to continue building concrete actions to end gender-based violence. So this is going to be a conversation between some professors, like Marie-Catherine Krapinski, that is a professor in the Department of Mathematics and Associate Dean of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion in the Faculty of Science, Dr. Anita Tino, who is a faculty member at the ENSC department at SFU and a professional engineer, the director of our office, the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, CJ Rowe, and then two students from the Women in Engineering Club. So we hope that we are going to create the same sense of community that we have been creating in previous years on the physical memorial by inviting different people just to listen to this intergenerational conversation and reflections. At the very beginning of the memorial, we are going to invite Margaret George Elder to open the memorial, and we will have a moment of silence for the 14 women who are no longer with us. And after that, we are going to have a brief conversation. It's going to be half an hour, 30 minutes conversation, and folks who join this event will have the opportunity to ask questions to some of the guest speakers. So we hope that we can create, as you mentioned, Robin, this sense of community, also a moment to reflect that, yes, this happened 31 years ago, but we know that one of the biggest pandemics in our world is gender-based violence, and this still continue a reality, a sad reality for many folks in this world, in Canada, especially indigenous women who every day is still are missing and murdered. And then I think that we need to remember that everything is interconnected, and we need to find spaces and dialogues to continue thinking what is that we need to start doing in order to dismantle these structures of oppression and structures of violence that keep silencing many women in our country and also around the world.
So well said, Paola. And I just have some statistics in front of me because, you know, you're talking about Indigenous women and how they are unequally affected in terms of violence, and three times more likely to be victims of violence than non-Indigenous women. And, you know, women with disabilities, non-binary folks, they are also at higher risk of gender-based violence than anyone. And what I found interesting too about the statistics that I'm looking at from a report that was done by the Canadian Federation of Students in Ontario is that one out of two self-reported sexual assaults are against people aged 15 to 24. And so that is really university, like, you know, high school and university aged young people. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if you can tell us what the services are for students on campus at your office, and, you know, how people can access that, especially now in this virtual world, because it you know, this report also suggests that very little assault happens on campus, but it happens with students that people know.
Exactly, yes. That is something that we need to continue remembering, that gender-based violence sadly happens not with this idea that we have the stranger danger, someone that is going to jump from a bush and do something to us, but unfortunately happens with many people that the survivor will know. And that is why it's important that we keep talking about this and the importance of starting to ask ourselves if we are perpetuating some of these sexist ideas, right, and misogynist ideas in our unconscious. And that's why sometimes these ideas grow and then they get normalized, and then that's why sexual violence happens. So, yes, I can share with you some of the resources that are on campus. So there are different resources on campus. One of them is our office, so it's the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office. We are right now offering services online, so students can connect with us via our website. Also, they can send us an email. And then we offer for confidential information and support and services of anyone who has been affected or impacted by sexual violence, even directly or indirectly. And this means that sometimes you know of someone that was impacted by sexual violence and you don't know how to support them or what to say or how to be there for them. You also can connect with our office. And there is also the SFU Human Rights Office that offers assistance and advice to people experiencing harassment and discrimination. We also have the SFU Health and Counseling Service Clinics that provides counseling support and is providing support right now online to any individual or any student, staff, or faculty who have experienced sexual violence. And they also offer medical support in case that is needed. And also the SFSS Women's Center, they provide education, advocacy, peer support, and referrals regarding gender-based violence and other services. So students can just Google Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SBSPO, or they can just simply find our website within the SFU.ca website, and they can find our services by visiting www.sfu.ca/sexual-violence, and they can learn of the different support services that we can offer in our office. So we offer personalized safety planning, information on confidentiality, information on reporting options in case that the student is thinking of something like this. Also, navigating court processes if needed and if they need transportation to the hospital, police, or any emergency services. And also support or help with academic, workplace, and other accommodations needed at SFU. And then also, as I mentioned, provide support and advice for students who have been named in an incident of sexual violence as well. So these are the services that we offer. We have drop-in sessions right now. So students can simply visit again our website, and we have drop-in sessions that are offered by our case managers from Monday through Thursday. They are online via Zoom. There is no need to make an appointment, and they can just connect with any of the case managers, Julie or Melanie, just to learn more what other services and support they can get from our office, or if they have a question, they don't know exactly what they are experiencing, maybe is gender-based violence, sexual violence, they are unsure. Yes, we invite all the SFU community to connect with our services. As I was mentioning, Robin, I think that this is also a yearly invitation that it shouldn't happen every year. This is something that we need to continue thinking every day to change this culture that we have where sexist gender harassment, like saying insulting remarks or actions based on one's gender, which, like saying, for example, women cannot do science or queer folks only fit in the arts department, or sexual gender harassment, which refers to sexual remarks or conduct, like commenting on the shape of a woman's body, or sexual harassment, which is unwanted attention or different type of sexualized comments. We need to change this culture. We need to continue thinking and reflecting if we are somehow perpetuating this type of thoughts, because we may see and think, oh, it was just a joke, or it is just a comment, or it is just don't take it seriously. But sadly, these thoughts that are ingrained in our society ended up being realities like the ones that happened on December 6, 1989, where 14 women were killed, sadly, just because they were women, just because one person thought, okay, if they are in this field, in the STEM field, that means they might be feminist, so then they shouldn't have the right to exist. So, and then that is not the only event that we can think about it. We know, as you were sharing some of the statistics, this is happening every day in the lives of Black, Indigenous, and people of color, as well, who are the most marginalized communities, including the LGBTQI communities. So then I think it's on us to continue creating this culture of care and consent, and become kind of like a change makers, because I don't think this happens only with policies. This could happen also with our day-to-day actions. So we invite you again to join us on December 4th from 12:30 to 1:30. You can get more information on how to register on our website again. So www.sfu.ca/sexual-violence. You can get more information on how to register for the event. And then witnessing this important intergenerational conversation between folks who were students at the time in 1989, and also current students, and learn what else we can do in order to stop this terrible pandemic of gender-based violence.
Yes, yes. Stop this terrible pandemic of gender-based violence. And I love the call to step up every day. And that, you know, we can't just make it during these 16 days that is a yearly memorial to it, that we need to be proactive and notice and call it out every day.
Yeah, exactly. Just because something has always been that way doesn't mean it's okay. And then we can change those ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much, Paola. I will post the link to the event on Friday with the link to the audio for this program if you are interested in registering to attend. It is a registered event, so you need to register in order to participate. So I will get that link up right after the show today for listeners who are interested, and a link also to the office where folks can find more information about what you do, and if they need to contact the office for any way, any reason.
Awesome. Thank you, Robin, for your ongoing support to highlight this type of events. And I forgot to say that if folks are more familiar with social media, They also can follow us at sfu.sdsco, and then you also can get the information on the event and other information about our office and the resources and support that we continuously have available for all the SFU folks, including staff and faculty.
Perfect.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Take care and talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a wonderful day, Robin.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Paula Quiros, educator with the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office here on campus. We are going to go to a song. This is a Buxom from the album Rebirth and a track called Own Your Truth here on Intravenous.
FemConquest, CJSF's first program devoted entirely to playing FemCon. Short for female content, FemCon is music written, composed, and/or performed by primarily female-identified people. FemConquest aims to bring attention to women in music who are often underrepresented in all music genres. FemConquest every Friday from 2 to 3 p.m.
Hey, this is Anuki, your Faculty of Environment representative, here to let you know what the SFSS is. The SFSS is a student union that is student-led, and it represents and advocates for the interests of the 26,000 undergraduate students at SFU. We are a non-for-profit support network and a voice at SFU, which provides services like the UPass and health and dental. We also provide support to make your student life better. You can reach the SFSS on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or by emailing us. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
The COVID-19 outbreak has left a lot of people with a lot of questions. Good and valid questions that deserve to be heard. Questions about how to keep themselves and their families safe. Questions about how COVID-19 will alter their communities and lifestyles. What policy or procedures are in place right now? CJSF knows there's a lot of information out there, and we want to encourage you to seek out what is relevant to you. Use a trusted and reliable news media or government source to find out your information. Let's think logically, let's think reasonably, and let's think about each other.
CJSF 90.1 FM, campus and community radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territories of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh peoples. My name is Robin Erickson. I am here as your host. And if you were tuned in for the first half of the program, I was speaking with Paola Quiros, educator with the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office here on campus, about the event they have on Friday, December 4th, which will be an intergenerational reflection on the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women, that is in memorial of the mass shooting that happened 31 years ago at the Montreal Polytechnique. The anniversary is on December the 6th, and as Paola was mentioning, it was an incident where 14 women were gunned down by a lone shooter. It was the, at the time, we have since had an incident where I think it equals that in Nova Scotia, but at the time and for the past 30 years, it has been the most gruesome and grisly and mass murder that our country has ever seen. And so it's very profound, I guess. It seems like sort of a strange word to use, but profoundly devastating and profoundly troubling, if anything. I want to read a letter that was posted on social media. It was a letter to the editor by a senior in mechanical engineering about this topic. The writer is Jared Malden, and he writes, "To the women in my engineering class, while it is my intention in every other interaction I share with you to treat you as my peer, let me deviate from that to say that you and I are in fact unequal. Sure, we are in the same school program, and you are quite possibly getting the same GPA as I. But does that make us equal? I did not, for example, grow up in a world that discouraged me from focusing on hard science. Nor did I live in a society that told me not to get dirty, or said I was bossy for exhibiting leadership skills. In grade school, I never had to fear being rejected by my peers because of my interests. I was not bombarded by images and slogans telling me that my true worth was in how I look, and that I should abstain from certain activities because I might be thought too masculine. I was not overlooked by teachers who assumed that the reason I did not understand a tough math or science concept was, after all, because of my gender. I have had no difficulty whatsoever with a boys' club mentality, and I will not face added scrutiny or remarks of my being the diversity hire. When I experience success, the assumption of others will be that I earned it. So, you and I cannot be equal. You have already conquered far more to be in this field than I will ever face." When I read that, I just sat for a little bit with that idea of how when we're not the accepted norm, to achieve the things that we achieve takes this effort that is so over and above. And that is not equal. You know, when we talk about the privilege that we have to be able to do and go and achieve the things that we do, I think that is part of what is being talked about in the letter to the editor there. And still, obviously, because this is, a new letter, the issues from 31 years ago still remain, which is also something that, you know, in my conversation with Paula, we were alluding to, and definitely that Paula was alluding to. going back to our conversation, also, we were talking about, you know, gender-based violence and definitely about sexual violence as it pertains to the office where Paula works. And I just want to read from a study that the Canadian government had published that was done on post-secondary schools within the Canadian provinces and their experiences of unwanted sexual behaviors and sexual assault in 2019. And what was interesting to me is the focus on what counts or what counts as the 10 unwanted sexualized behaviors. And I think sometimes, you know, this again is what Paula was alluding to, is that in our own consciousness, we sometimes don't appreciate how these things are happening and how we fall into doing them or accepting them or just not even recognizing that they're happening in order to call them out, because some of them are really subtle. And so I just want to read the list of what they are. And again, these are considered, this is what the study found out to be considered the 10 unwanted sexualized behaviors. Inappropriate verbal and nonverbal communication in the form of sexual jokes, unwanted sexual attention such as whistles, calls, etc. Inappropriate sexual comments about appearance or body. Inappropriate discussions about sex life. Sexually explicit materials. Materials displaying, showing, or sending sexually explicit messages or materials online. Taking or posting inappropriate or sexually suggestive photos or videos of any student without consent. Unwanted physical contact or suggested sexual relations. That is or could be indecent exposure or inappropriate display of body parts in a sexual manner. repeated pressure from the same person for dates or sexual relationships, unwelcome physical contact or someone getting too close and in your space, someone being offered personal benefits for engaging in sexual activity or being mistreated for not engaging in sexual activity. The other thing that that this study notes is where these instances occur. And what they consider to be post-secondary school-related settings. And so that is on campus, obviously, while traveling to and from school, during an off-campus event organized or endorsed by the post-secondary school, including official sporting events, or it could be a band event or any kind of extracurricular activity event. During unofficial activities or social events organized by students, instructors, professors, either on or off campus, it could be employment at the school. During a co-op or work term placement organized by the school. And behaviors that occurred online where some or all of the people responsible were students, teachers, or other people associated with the school. Interestingly, and in relation to, you know, talking about sexual violence on campus, most of what the study found is that almost three quarters of post-secondary students witnessed or experienced unwanted sexualized behavior in the past year. That is just mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Three quarters of post-secondary students witnessed or experienced unwanted sexualized behaviors in the past year. Now, this study is across the country, but I think that, you know, amortized over how many universities that is, that, you know, SFU and UBC and Kwantlen and Douglas College and all of the colleges and universities that we, you know, that call the Lower Mainland home, probably experience within a small percentage of the same kinds of numbers and activities, which is a heck of a big number depending on what your student population is. They also say that a lot of these instances, and the reason why three quarters of the post-secondary students witnessed or experienced this, is that often these things happen in the public realm and not in private behind closed doors. And so, again, as Paola was saying, you know, it's the culture that we are in where these things have become the accepted norm to demean and degrade and objectify and openly disrespect women in general, but Indigenous women specifically, women of color specifically, differently abled people and women in specific, otherly gender identified people, and the list goes on. And the more intersectionality that there is, the more likely those things are to occur in an environment that is really toxic and traumatizing. And of course, the personal experiences of unwanted sexualized behaviors are more common for women students, but it doesn't preclude male students from having those experiences also. And so, you know, although it happens for women in the greatest numbers and the greatest percentages, I think that sometimes we as women can't rest on our laurels too much, and we need to watch our own behavior, because there is a small percentage of men who, you know, also experience unwanted sexual attention, such as whistles and catcalls, and that experience of someone getting too in their physical space and too close for comfort. Now, of course, part of the trouble here is that what women see and what men see allow us to hold different opinions and beliefs about sexual behaviors. And again, this is where we need to figure out how to shift the culture and recognize in our own minds, and have the ability to speak up about our own experiences, and really, I think, embody sometimes what those experiences are. You know, when things feel a little itchy and uncomfortable, that's real. And as women, we've been taught a lot to ignore those feelings and to ignore what our bodies are telling us about the situation that we're in, and to just sort of, you know, grin and bear it, or you know, let it pass, to be polite, you know, smile it off, don't rock the boat. Oh my God, there's just so many things, right? That men don't adhere to, you know, they have a different sense of things. And so, you know, really being able to feel the feels that we're feeling and speak up about those things is a practice. It's a hard practice, but part of what is going to benefit all of us. And, you know, we can hearken back to the Me Too hashtag movement, where, you know, people were really starting to speak up. Women were really starting to speak up about their experiences, and how that just opened the floodgates almost for other women to express their experiences and normalize almost how this happens in the world. so that we can start to eliminate gender-based violence at the root, which is societal, you know? It's not the fault of any one gender specifically, because we all are conditioned within the society that we live in to hold it up and to make it tick. So there you go. There's so much information on the internet, you know, that gives stats and statistics and those kinds of things about what we're dealing with, and especially on campuses. I will post a couple of the links that I have been referencing in the show today, if you're interested in following that up. Happy to share with the audio link on our website, cjsf.ca. Just in the last few minutes of the show, I want to point to the event that's happening again on Friday from 12:30 to 1:30. The Intergenerational Reflections on the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women. That is happening on Zoom through the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office. You do need to register to attend. And again, I will post the link with the audio to the show if you want to find where to register and how to do that. And I'm going to leave you with a song, something that is a little more lovely. Maybe it's lovely. It's got a lovely title, anyways. To end us off today before Democracy Now!, this is a track from Linda McCrae, her album Going to the Well. I've been enjoying some of her Come Up to the House concerts online, and think of her often. This is Singing River here to take us out. Thanks for listening. I have been your host. My name is Robin Erickson, and I will be back with you next week for more discussion on gender and women and how we make this a better place in the world for us.
Daughter of the sun, woman with the dancing eyes, born above the shoulder bone of a Tennessee River Valley, where I was taken from the shore. My 5-year walk began, and the river sang me home. One day in May, we were forced to leave, never to return. Were defenseless against shiny buttons thirst. With a metal tag number 59, they stole my dignity. The one thing I missed most, their rivers did not sing. Singing river, sing me home. Slipped away one morning, prayed with every step. Great Spirit, if you guide me, I'll be forever in your debt. On the dark path of the devil's backbone. Please give my feet wings as I retrace my steps, cause a trail of tears I'll hymn a river sing. Singing river, sing me home. Singing river, sing me again, and the river sang.